Welcome to Tell Me Something Good. Join us every week as we break down trends, share our personal journeys, and explore the world of wellness. It's going to be real, unfiltered, and above all else, we will always give you something good. Here we are.
Oh, wow. You started the podcast.
I did.
That's actually impressive. Too, right? Yeah. Here we are.
Here we are.
What's cooking?
Maybe I'll use that every day.
So we were a little late this week, but we're here.
Yes, we're here.
Did it.
President's Day threw us into a tizzy.
Well, you were.
Because we have children.
Yeah. And you traveled, right? You had a hockey tournament. Which they won.
Which is awesome. So but it's always like a vortex.
Really, we should really thank our listeners for their sacrifice of missing out on a Tuesday release.
Yes. Thank you.
That your son could win his hockey tournament.
That's right. Yep.
The power of collective consciousness. There you go.
I love it. Positive energy.
All right. So I'm dying to hear what your something good is.
All right.
Because you gave me a teaser before I got here.
Okay. So we're going to start with our something good. And then today we are talking about...
I don't know. You came up with the idea.
How to get out of a creative rut.
And how did we come up with that?
Because I'm in a creative rut.
Right. So we were like, let's
may not even be just a... It may just be a rut. But
let's talk it out.
Yeah. So we're going to talk it out. And we'll tell that. We'll tell that background story in a minute. Okay. My something good, it doesn't have anything to do with this podcast really, but it's my something good. I'm dying over this. Now, have you heard of this TikTok series called Who the F Did I Marry? Have you heard of this?
No. I don't really go on TikTok that much.
I don't either. And I heard about this.
Lies.
Because I do... Yes, I'm a nerd and I do needlepoint.
We know this.
Yeah, we know this. But I listen to, like, I have to have something to either watch or listen to while I'm doing it. I don't just sit there, like, staring at the wall. And I saw someone mentioning that she's watching / listening to this. And she's like, you will die when you see this. So I was like, what? I don't even, like, I'm not on TikTok, but I'll check it out. This is a 50-part, like, series. Okay. About this woman named, I believe her first name is Risa. And it's literally called Who TF Did I Marry? So if you want to look it up, just go on TikTok and search that up. You will see it right away because it's getting like millions of views. Basically, this woman, and she is great. And she tells the story, and I don't know how she does it, but she tells the story in such a like... methodical, clear way. She's very funny. So this is actually like a very sad and tragic story, but like the way she tells it is just so engaging. It's just riveting, absolutely riveting. And it's this woman's journey from meeting this guy on a dating website. She was ready to settle down, have kids. So was he, so she thought. He turned out to be, and this isn't a spoiler, you could probably guess by the title, he turned out to be a pathological liar. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that, like, you know how you just kind of say, like, making fun of somebody, like, you're a pathological liar. No. This is, like, big time. Like, inventing, essentially, I don't want to give anything away, but, like, we're talking pathological liar, doing it, you know, actually kind of, like, weaponizing it. Also a narcissist.
Okay.
She knew none of this when she met him. She knew none of this when she married him.
Do they have kids?
So, no, thank God. But the story, like, you start out and you're like, okay, well, it's obvious from the title. Like, she married a pathological liar. It didn't turn out well. But she goes into all the details of, like, when they were dating, some things that happened that were definitely red flags. And she, you know, she's just so sweet. And she admits, she's like, I know this is making me look so stupid, you know, but I missed like all these red flags.
Well, so you say it's a TikTok series. Did she just record this thing and then it chopped it up into 50, or is it like produced? How is it?
Yeah, I think, again, I don't know TikTok very well, but I think you have like a 9-10 minute.
Story,
yeah.
Oh, wow. So she talked for that long.
It's over the course of like, I want to say maybe like 5 days she did it. And she only did this, I think, like 2 weeks ago. Told the story 2 weeks ago. But this all happened back in.
It's blown up.
They met in 2020 and then it went into like 2021. Yeah. So this is like I Googled it just to see. It's unreal the way this is blown up because it is like a Netflix story. It's like a Netflix show. It is that, like, it's even better than a Netflix show. It is so enthralling, like, kind of in the worst way. But she also is doing this. You know, she got a lot of comments in the beginning saying, why are you doing this? Like, you're throwing yourself under the bus. Like, you know, this isn't a good look for you. And she's like, I know. And she's like, and trust me, like, it was really a hard decision for me to make to like come out with all this, but she's like, I don't want any other, you know, she's like, if there's one woman watching this who is like thinking in her head, like maybe something's off or like that's a red flag, you know, she's like, I just hope that they will look into it, you know, change what they're doing. So I think it's really admirable. Like, I really do believe she is getting now like donations and because she's, people love her because she's so, you know, she's just like a normal woman and she had dreams or has dreams. And he just kind of like turned all that around and used it against her. So she's definitely like profiting off of this. But okay. I do believe that her initial intentions were to help women. And I think they, you know, I think still is to help women. But for sure, she's going to be like, I would not be surprised if she makes the morning show rounds and she may get offers for, I mean, somebody to write that. Like, I would not be surprised.
It sounds
at
like a TV
all.
Show. It reminds me of this. Was it Dr. John? There was that series. Similar
yep,
to that.
Kind of similar vibes.
Yeah.
It could have actually, thank God it didn't go.
That was the name, right? Dr. John.
Yes. Yeah. It didn't go that, like, luckily, you know, as far as I'm not only like halfway through, but as far as I know, nobody has like died.
Well, she's alive. Obviously.
Yeah, she's alive. Thank God. But it's that, like, it's unbelievable like that. And it's just, you know, like, I'm at the point now where, you know, she's found out, like, some really big things. And she says, she just said in the one I was listening to, she's like, that was 2% of the lies.
All right.
So I'm like, what in God's name?
Well, how can people, what do they search for?
So go to TikTok and look up who TF
oh, you said that
did
right,
I marry?
Who TF did I marry?
Yeah, and you'll find it. Just go to the, you want to.
What does the TF stand for?
Listen, we may have children listening to this. I know your son Mason's a fan. I don't want to, you know, actually, he's heard.
He's
nothing
heard,
he hasn't heard
yeah,
before,
he
given
heard,
that you're
exactly.
his dad.
Exactly.
But start at the beginning. Don't start in the middle. You have to hear every single episode because there's so much background. And she actually stops, like, there's so much to this that she stops, like, every 6 or 7 episodes and kind of does, okay, you with me? Here's where we are. Here's what happened, you know. Yeah. So that's my, you know, I my heart goes out to her, but it sounds like, you know, now it's a few years later and it sounds like she's kind of built her life back. But yeah.
So the good here is just it's something entertaining.
And hopefully it'll help, you know, there's somebody out there who might be in a questionable relationship and sees it, you know, and maybe comes out and tells their own story or gets out of like a really, really bad relationship.
It doesn't even have to be a romantic relationship, right?
No, there, not at all.
I've known some people that to be pathological liars, not like partners of mine, but
I don't think
people
I
know.
I don't know anybody.
You do, because we know the same people.
Pathological
yeah.
liar?
Yeah. We won't get into that. There's people listening
name
to
them.
This that know
name
who
them.
I'm talking
name
they know
them
who I'm
now.
but no one I've dated. So let's not start any rumors.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm going to check that out. That sounds entertaining.
It really is. I think you will really like it.
I love
like
that kind
it.
Of stuff.
Yeah.
Twists and turns, yeah.
It is. It's, yeah. John's kind of like, my husband, John, he's kind of like rolling his eyes about it. But I'm like,
he'll
you would love this.
He'll
when this
hooked.
Is on Netflix, you are going
yeah.
to be riveted.
He'll say, Brad, have you seen the show? We got to watch it.
Yeah, yeah. In 2 years or whatever when yeah. this comes out. Oh, my God. Yeah, so thank me later. And also, it's great because you can just listen to it. You know, it's just her talking to the camera.
Yeah.
So you can listen to it, you know, when they're walking, when you're walking, doing dishes. And you have to read the comments. The comments are potentially...
Oof. Could make a book out of them, I'm sure.
They're so funny because one of them is like... one of them is like, I was supposed to go to bed at 9 o'clock. I've now been up for 10 hours. You know, or somebody's like, I was supposed to take a staycation today. What have I done on my staycation? I've listened to, you know, Nisa's story instead of doing anything else. And I'd say by and large, she has like, you know, it's almost always supportive, really, really sweet comments. And that is heartwarming too, to see people be like, you know,
yeah, it's easy
girl,
to jump on the,
like we
you're
support
so stupid
you.
For believing. Yeah.
I think there was one, I didn't read all the comments, but there's one she mentioned in one of her recap episodes and she's like, and to the person who said like somebody like him would never be with somebody who looks like me, like that wasn't very nice.
No.
And that's just what she says and she moves on. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so sweet. Yeah. I'm very into it.
That sounds
you can
good.
Tell. Yep. Yep. So carry on. What about you?
So mine is, I've done something. I think I told you. What have I told you?
You're always doing something.
Did I tell you what I signed up for?
No.
No? You'll be surprised.
A marathon.
Yeah. I did tell you.
Well, no, I knew you were working on like building your running stamina because yeah. you did a half recently,
no.
right? Or a quarter, no. 2 miles.
I did 8K. Back in, that was like Thanksgiving
to me,
of 22.
8K equals like, you know, I don't really run anymore. Yeah. So 8K is the same thing as like a marathon.
Yeah,
to me.
Well, I felt it. Yeah, so I signed up for the marathon, which is
New York marathon?
Yeah, incredibly
amazing.
Unlike me.
Wow.
It was inspired by a few things, which is really what the something good is. So one, it was seeing, I had a couple friends that ran it last time and I was following them and just seeing them accomplish it, knowing how difficult it was.
Yeah.
And the one friend in particular, the dedication he put into it, it was inspiring.
Mm.
And then my buddy, Nicole signed up.
Did
and
she
kind of oh peer gosh. Pressured me into doing it.
Okay.
So the main reason was, again, without going into too much detail, my mother's health, and she's no longer really able to use her body.
Yeah.
So that kind of inspired me. I was like, you know what, while I have the ability, I'm going to push myself and, you know, so it would be dedicated to her. But it was really just that, like, I'm going to appreciate what I have.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I really don't want to do. And it's something I've always said. My sister ran it 10, 11 years ago. And I remember at the time I was like, I'm never going to do this.
Yeah.
F that. Hell
because you probably
no.
got a up close view of what's involved.
Yeah, kind of. And just, I hate running.
Do you?
Put a ball in front of me, I'll run forever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't stop.
I was going to say, I'm surprised. Soccer is like running.
Yeah, but it's like sprinting, walking,
yeah.
sprinting, walking.
Start, stop.
Yeah. So this is going to be interesting. I haven't really been doing more than 2 to 3, 4 miles. Training will really start in May.
Okay.
Doing a 6-month program.
Okay.
But yeah.
That's great.
Ooh,
I'm excited
it's gonna
for
be
you.
I'm going to try and do some content about it. And believe me, I know I'm in shape and everything, but like, believe me when I tell you, I hate running. I hate running. So this is really difficult for me to do this.
You know you should do? Risa, my new friend, my new bestie.
Yeah.
She actually was doing, throughout all of this, she was just doing little text notes. When she first started getting like a weird feeling, which was very early on, she just didn't know why. She just started doing these text notes, just talking to herself.
Yeah,
maybe
you
could do that and then look back on it. It's like a way of journaling, but not
I could. Yeah. And that'd be actually interesting to see, right? Like going from 2 miles and hopefully doing a 10 mile run or something. Be like, oh, wow. I didn't ever do that. But yeah, I hate running. And I'm a little worried my body won't like it. All those years of soccer really beat my hips up. But, you know, and that's another small reason of doing it. It's like it's actually making me, you know, I've added stretching into my early morning routine now. Just 10, 15 minutes yoga stuff. But like, I really need to do that now if I'm going to make it. Right.
Yes,
so
100%.
So it's got extra benefits like that. But yeah, that's why something good. Just
that's great.
Something challenging, something to focus on. And let's go.
Godspeed.
November. I'll keep you guys updated.
That's awesome. I can't wait to hear. I mean, the good thing is you get to train mostly in the summer, right? In the warm
weather.
Yeah,
like yesterday morning, I went for a run in 19-degree weather, 2 miles at 5:30 in the morning.
That just sounds like the worst.
Yeah. I came home, my legs were just like raw. And I had pants on too. They were just like from the cold air.
But do you wear like one of those reflective vests?
No. No.
Well, it's
if
not,
a
is it?
Car hits me, the car's worse off than I am.
Okay.
When I'm running at that pace.
Okay.
All right, let's jump into it because I'm interested to talk about this.
Yeah. So I texted Paolo earlier this week and I said, I cannot think of anything to talk about. I'm in such a creative rut recently. Like, I just can't think of anything. And so he was like, why don't we talk about how to get out of a creative rut? And I was like, yeah, okay. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah, sometimes you overthink it.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's all like, you know, when I was doing some research to prepare for the episode, it's all things that I know. But it's like when you're in it, you just are you don't want to. It's just like you forget it all.
Well, it's like anything. If you're a coach or a teacher, it's even though you know and you can tell someone and walk them through from A to Z.
Yeah.
When it's you, it's hard to do. So
yeah. I think it even applies to like, I would say it applies to like depression. Like mm-hmm. if you are in a funk just in general.
Yeah.
It's very hard to like take a beat and be like, okay, wait, like what has been going on with me the past like week? You know, and like for me in the winter, it's usually like, when's the last time you actually got sunlight? You know, yeah. And it'll be like, oh, I haven't spent any meaningful time outside in like 4 days. You know,
and then when
you go through that little checklist, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I actually saw something recently about depression being linked to sunlight exposure.
Yeah, it is partially. Yeah. Vitamin D is like,
yeah.
If you're not, to listeners, if you're not taking vitamin D supplements, if you live in the Northeast or an area like the Pacific Northwest, you should be taking vitamin D supplements.
How much do you take a day of that?
I have actually not taken them right now, which is a problem. Yeah, I've like completely stopped all my supplementation. So
yeah, it's the only one I take.
I'm going back to my functional medicine doctor and I gotta get back on track because I can feel it.
Yeah.
So here we go. Number one, I put this as number one because I think it's the most obvious and the most important is get off the internet.
Yeah, but you can use it though for inspiration.
You can. So I think when I say get off the internet, I kind of mean social media.
Right.
Like I find, and I guess it's kind of personal, but sites like Pinterest for me are not triggering. They're inspiring.
Yeah.
Social media isn't always triggering, but for me, it can easily become that. You know, I'll start off with the best intentions to be researching something, and the next thing I know, I'm down this like wild rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And I find that it really clouds my thinking. It triggers comparison. So it basically dulls any kind of creative thought that I would have. And yeah, it just really prevents clarity in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I use social media as, I think it kind of goes to the lens you look at the stuff through, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and also where you're starting from, I guess if you go in and you're not feeling creative, you're a little, and then you start getting down about it, you can't get into that vicious cycle of
and that's
just
why
doing
I go
scrolling.
In, I'm like, I need a dopamine hit. Like,
yeah. So yes, in that respect, it's detrimental, but I think I certainly use it for inspiration.
Like how?
It also, you have to curate what you follow, right? Like don't follow anything negative. It's all, you know, a lot of it's positive, motivational, that kind of stuff.
Like, is your For You page generally?
Oh, my For You page is all like UFC, funny enough. That just seems to be what I watch the most of on Instagram. But
that's probably good, right?
Yeah, it's that and self-development, motivational stuff.
Yeah, see, mine is just crap.
Yeah. Yeah, so I changed my Instagram. I had two accounts and I closed one and then I had the opportunity to basically start from scratch with my other one. So that's what I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you got to curate what you're looking at. And then I use it I might see something motivational that gets me fired up. Mm-hmm. Or I use it as a, like in a competitive nature, like, mm-hmm. All right, I can do that too. I'm going to do that. Like, what have I got?
Yeah. That's interesting.
But I also see the flip side of, it happens to me too, where I use it. It's almost like self-sabotage, right? Like, you know you shouldn't be doing it, but you're just doing it anyway.
Yeah. Or like for you might see something and it stokes like a competitive fire, whereas
in the wrong,
for me,
but also in the, it could do it in the wrong way.
Yeah.
You can start comparing yourself to
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I'm more prone to the comparison, or I see somebody doing something. I'm like, oh, well, they already did it. So what, I mean, what am I going to bring to the table? Nothing.
Yeah.
You know? So for me, it's just better to get off of it, okay. either if it's for like an afternoon or longer. Anytime I start feeling completely not grounded, that's when I know I have to step away. And usually I can tell I'm not grounded when I'm forgetting really, really simple things that I should be remembering, like things that happened, you know, just that morning. Or my youngest son really loves to bust my chops. So he won't fail to tell me when he feels that I have been on the phone too long.
Yeah.
He actually has grabbed my phone before and deleted TikTok.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He has strong feelings.
Yeah.
Strong. Well, let's see when he gets a phone. The tables
yeah, when
are going to turn.
TikTok,
the tables are
going to
turn in a year. But yeah, so I think internet/social media is good.
Yeah. Negative. I mean, I guess negative distractions, right? Like enough of that. I was going to say, first thing that came to mind for me was changing the environment. It's on here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big one. It's just get out of, if you're not feeling creative, go somewhere else. I remember reading a book by Jermaine Dupri, who's one of the biggest producers in history. Mm-hmm. He was actually, he performed at the Super Bowl. He's wearing those silly socks.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know who he is. Yeah.
So in his book, he talks about that, how to get in the right frame of mind, he'll often be playing video games for like 5 or 6 hours. He'll be in the studio for another 12 hours after that, but he doesn't put any pressure on himself to create.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when the mood hits, I'll create. Mm-hmm. And then once I'm in it, I know I can do it.
Yeah.
And we'll go into a little in a little bit about getting into flow state and doing things to lead you to that point. But
I feel like you really can speak. I feel like you should speak to that because you're so good at that.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But I think changing your environment is big. Go for a walk. So I mean, I used to just get in the car and drive somewhere just to clear my head.
Mm.
I like taking phone calls in the car for that reason, and I just find especially if it's like a call that's like a strategy call about business or something.
Mm-hmm.
I like doing that in the car because I'm looking at the road and everything, but I'm not thinking about anything apart from what I'm listening to. If that makes sense.
That's interesting.
Similar to like when you're in the shower, like all songwriters will tell you, all writers, they have the best ideas
Everyone,
in the shower
I feel
because
like.
You're concentrating on something else.
Right.
So it allows your creative mind to be free.
Oh, that's really interesting.
So it's a similar thing. You're just changing the environment because wherever you are at that moment is not inspiring you.
Yeah. I've seen often, this is one of my things, it's like exercise, which I think is probably the same concept. Like take a walk without anything in your ears, just walk and like look around, observe nature. And sometimes like a lot of people say that that's when they get ideas or just, I remember when I used to run, I'd always get ideas like on long runs.
And it could be, I don't know if it's on here. No, it's kind of, you don't even have to change your environment. Just start like doing a chore or a busy task, like fold laundry or something like that. Just to stop thinking. I think when you start overthinking, you spiral.
Yeah. It's like, so here's an example of like what would happen in my head. I definitely have a ruminating. I tend to ruminate. So I'd be like, okay, you know, we have to think of something for the podcast. You know, what have we talked about before? What should we talk about next? But is that redundant? Where am I going to get the information? So I'll either freeze and not do anything. Well, yeah, usually I just freeze and not do anything.
Yeah.
Or I'll just get frustrated and I'm like, I can't think of anything.
See, that, you know, when you said think about something for the podcast, what I immediately thought of was how I approach things like that. And I think what I've done without realizing it is I have like a go-to of 5 to 10 different, it's the same in everything I do, in all my different endeavors.
Mm-hmm.
I have like 5 or 10 people that I go to for inspiration. So I know that I'll get an, no matter how I feel, mm-hmm. I will get an idea because they inspire me.
In real life or?
So, I mean, just like, I don't even listen to Huberman's podcast that often, mm-hmm. right?
And yeah.
But if because it's a similar genre to what we're doing, yes. that's like straight away I'll go there and be like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. And then how can I flip that? And I think it's also to that end about having that, you know, growth mindset. I think if you're in that growth mindset as much as possible, you'll see opportunities everywhere. So, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. I'm looking around here. So I see the Santa globe behind you. Now I'm thinking of the holidays, or what's happy about the holidays, mm-hmm. and you know, just kind of go from there. So
yeah, or like, what's the story? Why is that still out? Like, yeah. Whose is it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think it's, and it kind of goes to the flow state idea that there is skill to setting yourself up to be creative.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I think it starts quite a long time before you need to be creative.
Yeah. One of the things that I have too about mindset, you just said it, it's basically notice details that nobody else.
Are you going to be able to read this now you dropped your glasses?
I'm going to have to pick them up.
She can't see them. She can't see. Don't you have like four pairs behind you?
Oh, yeah, I do. Thank you. It's another thing you were looking at.
Yeah, clearly. There you go. See?
Okay, so this is one of my favorite books for people on camera. This is Rick Rubin's book called The... This is Rick Rubin's
I think we
book.
Talked about him in the last episode, too.
Probably. I'm obsessed with this book. We love Rick Rubin. It's like my Bible. Creative Act, A Way of Being by Rick Rubin. He's also all over... he's been interviewed many times all over podcasts. Like Huberman has interviewed him... 3 times, I think. Yeah. And those are really good conversations because they're friends like in real life. So if you're interested.
Yeah.
But he says, the ability to look deeply is the root of creativity, to see past the ordinary and mundane and get to what might otherwise be invisible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like I think when you're in a creative rut, you've kind of lost a curiosity about the world. You just see things as they are.
Yeah.
And I think, unfortunately, too much reliance on social media can lead to that because you're spending your time in a world that isn't real.
Yeah.
Versus the real world. But yeah, so I think it's interesting. You just do that. Like, well, I mean, over the years.
It's practice.
It's a muscle that you've probably really developed.
It was born from being frustrated at not being creative. I think I think it was the last episode that I went through this period of, I just couldn't write a song.
Mm.
But now I know how to clear my mind. And if I sit down to be creative and I'm not creative, I just walk away. I'm not, you know, mm-hmm. I don't beat myself up. I know that, all right, this isn't the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then get onto it. But yeah, it's really just setting yourself up and like, you know, one thing is setting aside time to do something like meditating where you can, you learn to clear your mind or...
do you notice a difference since you started meditating?
Yeah, definitely. You know, so I went to this this workshop. I don't think I talked about it on here. This workshop was about accessing the Akashic Records, which is the whole...
Yes, yeah.
Did I talk about it on here?
I haven't, but I know what Akashic Records are.
Yeah, so, but it was maybe 15, 20 of us in there.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this woman sits down next to me. She grew up in the town next to where I grew up.
Really?
Yeah, of all the places.
That's wild.
So, I was, you know, 2 years ago, you tell me I was going to sit down and meditate with a bunch of people. Hell,
I was actually just thinking to myself, you've come far.
Yeah, right. But the thing that I was so surprised at was how quickly, with all these people around me, how quickly mm-hmm. I could just snap into like being still. Mm. And believe it, like I still have to work, even when I'm meditating, I have thoughts running through my mind.
But that's all part of it.
So it's a practice. It's, yes. It's called a practice. Right. But it really just, it really has helped me learn to just, you know, put things to the side, focus on what's in front.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's practice. Like I'm not perfect. It's still a work in progress. But yeah, I've definitely noticed a difference. I haven't really been doing so much creatively since then, just because of my, you know, what I'm prioritizing my time with.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I said, you know, I'll go for a walk and just put instrumentals on and start writing songs. And
in your head.
Yeah.
How does that?
I have like 20, 25 songs right now that I could make
in your head.
Two or three albums out of. Yeah.
How does that happen? Like, do you see it in your head like musical notes?
Music. Yeah, I remember in college, this woman asked. She asked, does anyone here see music? And I was thinking, well, I'm in a room with a bunch of musicians.
Talk about the way you play piano.
What do you mean?
How you don't read.
I don't read music, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I learned by ear.
That's wild to me.
Yeah, but yeah, I see music as like colors and shapes.
So in your mind, when you're like, I have 25 songs done, are they all different colors and shapes?
Well, so that's a little different because I see it when I listen to it, right? But it could be different every time. Like certain sounds are always the same shape and whatnot. But like I've never written lyrics down. I've always remembered them in my head.
That's so wild to me.
Yeah, it's just how I create.
But that's great. Like you're lucky.
Well, yeah, sometimes I forget them.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you have to write it down quickly?
No, if I write it down, I forget it.
Really?
Yeah.
So you don't write it down until you're like ready?
I never write it down, which is a huge pain in the ass.
You never write it down until you sing it.
When we had to submit to like, we had songs on TV shows and whatever, you have to send in the lyrics.
Yeah.
So I used to have to sit there and like listen to the song after it was recorded and type the lyrics up because they weren't written down anywhere.
Do you ever just try to sing it like a rough cut so that you have the lyrics?
Sometimes. Okay. That's the process, yeah.
That's so interesting. Yeah. And are all songwriters like different?
Yes. You get those. Yeah. You get songwriters who will always write lyrics.
Like that's Taylor Swift, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah, and then she has journals. She takes it from, yeah. She's always been like a massive.
So we work with artists like that. They would come in and we would play instrumentals to them that we made and they would like just flick through their notebook and like, oh, this might work. This, you know, this sounds like something for this. I have something for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everyone's different.
Do you ever
get
your
brain just turned off? Is that right?
You're gonna be all right?
Okay.
Bye bye. Okay. Do you ever walk into the studio and no one's because you pay for studio time. So does that affect?
Well, yes and no.
Creativity.
I mean, the studios we worked in, they were our studios, so we weren't paying for time necessarily. But I've done that before. Like I booked a studio session in London. I went back, it was like 12, 13 years ago now. And I was sick. Mm. So it was a waste of time and money. Yeah. But I got like one snare sound out of it from someone playing the drums. So I was like, all right, that was worth it. But yeah, that happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm. You just have to go with it.
Yeah. But usually if there's more than two or three people in the room, you're going to catch a vibe from something.
Really?
Because someone will catch a vibe and then it's again, it's creative consciousness, right? Like someone will do something that inspires the rest of the group. But there've been times where we would have artists come in for like a 4-hour session and we talk for 3 hours and then it was like, all right, hour left and something hit.
You just like go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like the studio sessions I used to do with my partner, I would get to his house like 11 a.m., 12. And we would go until 1 a.m. And usually it didn't like nothing was, we would just do kind of what we call admin work of like editing stuff and like cutting out all the breaths in the vocals. Mm-hmm. And then when we felt like it, we would get creative.
So interesting. Yeah.
But I think the lesson there is just don't force it. That's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah. Although that's a big Rick Rubin tenet.
Yeah. But there is a thought that if you just sit down to do it, you'll do it. Which.
Right. That was one of my things too, is take action. Just do something. But it's not necessarily take the right action. It's like, just do something.
Yeah.
Versus inaction. Which I think is right. Like you can't, if you sit down and you're like, I have to write a novel right now, you're not going to write it. Versus like they say in writing, like there's a shitty first draft. Like you just have to assume your first draft is going to go
complete.
Or like sit down and just write a sentence.
Yeah. Like with my book right now, this morning, I'm blocking time out every morning to write.
Mm-hmm.
And I only did like 200 words,
mm-hmm.
but
You did something.
Yeah, it's 200 words more than I did last. And I'll probably read through it and be like, this is crap, but the idea's there at least.
Yep.
And, you know, that often happens too, is you won't be feeling something. I mean, speaking from a musical perspective, mm-hmm. you'll record it, you leave the studio and be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm really feeling that. And then you listen to it a few hours later, you're like, oh my God, this is actually cool. Yeah, I can go with this.
Hmm. Yeah. And I think it's also so, this is another thing Rick Rubin says, is that like, you need to be creating. Another one of the ways to get out of a creative rut is to like, remember your why.
Yeah.
Because it's the journey that matters. It's not the end product. So you have to be creating for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get to the point where at the end you'll let it go and you don't care what anybody thinks of it because it meant something to you.
Yeah.
And this is what you created. And so that's the value of it versus like, this is the end result.
Yeah. I think that's big is knowing what your inspiration is.
Right.
Cause then you're not thinking about what you're creating. You're thinking about why you're creating it.
Yeah.
And that will just inspire you.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yep. And it's easy to forget. You know, these are all things that are so easy to forget, yeah. I think, when you're...
Yeah, but again, it's practice. Like, I'm in a place now where I can get over not feeling creative because I've practiced all of this stuff.
Right. Like, you, for you, it's just muscle memory, I feel like.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, I'm just like...
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it's just...
But I think I could get better at, like, you know... trying to just run through all this stuff.
Yeah, but like even with the thinking of a podcast idea, it's, you know, what you could have gone and looked at podcasts you've listened to and then been like, oh yeah, that's a good idea.
I could have.
But what did you do?
My first thought is always like, that's redundant. Like I'm redoing what they've already done or that's copying.
Right.
But it's not.
No,
like your approach is correct.
Yeah, make it your flavor.
Everything these days is derivative. Everything is.
Yeah.
You know, like there'd be no music if people weren't like inspired by a certain song.
Yeah, there's only X amount of chords.
Right. Like it's like cooking, you know. Every new cookbook author out there was inspired by something, but that doesn't mean they're copying a recipe, you know, like chicken parm, for example. A lot of people have come up with chicken parm recipes. Are they all exactly the same? No, they have a different spin on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, thinking about something like a coffee, there's a million coffee stores, right?
Yeah.
But it's not just the coffee. There's also the presentation. And so there's so many things there's so many levers you can pull in terms of like what's going to inspire you or what makes what you're doing different.
And it's also like perception of the person creating it, perception of the person drinking it. Like I might love a certain, you know, there's certain coffee places I love and John's like, oh, I can't even drink this.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm amazed.
I think, and something I just thought of, being creative when you're feeling creative instead of letting that moment pass, I think is really big. So, you know,
okay.
If I'm driving and I'm listening to a podcast, there are times where the moment strikes me, so I'll start playing.
What do you do?
I'll start playing instrumentals and start writing songs as I'm driving.
I love it. And when you say writing, it's just this is on yet.
Yeah.
You're writing songs.
Or even with my book, I'll fire up ChatGPT on my phone, just start talking to it. And then I say, like, make that coherent now.
Mm-hmm,
and, you know, it does that. So it's just, if I'm feeling inspired, I act on that.
Hmm.
Because then in moments of when you're not inspired, you have a whole thing you can look to.
Because everything I was reading in my research also said that like you cannot wait to have, like I know about writing, a lot of people think that to be a writer, they have to have, you know, they have to be at their like cozy desk with the fire going and like the dog laying under the desk. And it has to be like the perfect, you know, situation to start writing.
Yeah.
And that's when, you know, you'll be inspired. But if you're waiting for that, you're going to wait forever.
Yeah.
So they say, like, don't wait for inspiration to strike you. This is the whole, like, just take action thing.
Yeah.
If it does strike you, great, take action. But, like, you know, I think our brains mostly are – we're not all walking around, like, super inspired all the time unless we're, you know, making a conscious effort at it.
But yeah.
But you can't just wait, like –
No, but it also goes back to that setting yourself up to get into that flow state.
Yes.
exercise before, you know, before you go to work, or if you're doing a big project or something, mm-hmm. go for a walk.
Meditate.
Yeah. Do, you know, set your day up, you know. I think people go too far with, you know, these routines in the morning with like three or 4 hours long.
Totally agree.
My morning routines are about 30 minutes now. It's like I meditate and I do my stretches and then I plan out what else I need to do that's important. But if you do stuff to set your day up, you're gonna find yourself in a position to be creative a lot more often than not.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
I think also I've found that like at the end of the day, one of the things I've started doing is I used to do this sporadically with my kids, but I've kind of started doing it more like, you know, we've talked about the gratitude journal mm-hmm. and all that, which is great. But, you know, part of that is kind of, it forces you to look back on your day and like, remember what happened, like remember specific moments. And I think that helps with the whole, like notice details, like notice things that other people might not notice, right? Because the days just can pass in a blur. And I think that's part of what leads to like getting in a rut because you don't have any, you know, there's just no differentiation in your days or things that you notice have made you happy.
Yeah.
Or that you're grateful for. Because there's always something, you know, like, and my kids have seen this because they'll roll their eyes when I make them do like, you know, Rose and Thorn or Good, Better, Best. Yeah. But then they always find something, you know. Yeah. It can be like, guys, it can be as simple as, you know, school ended on time, you know, or something like that.
I mean, some of my business coach had me do for a while, you know, because every week when we meet, I have to give us some examples of some wins and some challenges. Mm-hmm. And I was getting to the meetings, and I was like, I can't think of any wins. I know I've had some. And then when you start talking them out, you get them.
Yeah.
So every night I was writing down on my phone, like 5 wins, mm-hmm. some challenges. So I had, you know, well, a similar thing, being grateful. And I hate to sound like a broken record. We're getting on a bit with time.
Yeah.
Your diet and your hydration and over-consuming alcohol.
Yeah.
Really can affect your creativeness because it can affect your mood.
Yeah.
If like, and generally, if I'm feeling uninspired, one of the first things I'll do is chug on some water,
mm-hmm.
add some salt, because that's very important for hydration, which we will talk about soon.
Yes.
Salt is demonized unfairly.
Mm-hmm.
But it can really, like, it goes back to setting yourself up.
Yeah.
If you're not doing the fundamentals, then this kind of thing becomes much more difficult.
Yep. Completely agree.
So something else to bear in mind.
Yeah. So just to recap, we have get off of social media if you can, if you find yourself comparing. Otherwise, try to use it for inspiration in an intentional way.
Did you read these before you printed them out?
Yeah, why? I mean, it's more just rough.
Yeah,
notes.
But did you read the second page?
Yeah. Oh my God. Did you?
Gotta be careful, bro. I added some into the document before she printed it out. Yeah.
I don't
Am
even
I
know
right?
what to
Am
say.
I wrong?
What are we going to do with you? What are we going to do with you?
Maybe we'll save that if we start like a Patreon.
He snuck in a little note into my notes that's not appropriate for adult conversation.
It's not inappropriate.
Actually, it is inappropriate.
I don't think so.
Okay, so let's recap. I'm not going to recap the last point. Get off of social media, exercise, notice the ordinary thing or see past the ordinary if you can. Just observe and notice the world outside. Act first, think later. Remember your why. Remember, you know, what inspired you initially. Change. Drive a different way to work.
Yeah.
Go for, you know, a drive somewhere you've never been before. Take a walk somewhere new. Anything else?
No, I think we covered the
write songs the in your head.
Yeah, that too.
Like,
or just write however you write. Like, identify what works for you.
Yeah,
I think is the key there.
Yeah.
All right, cool. We're starting to get long again with our recording. So I like it. Yeah, it's fun. It's cool.
All right.
But this week, special request: don't like, don't follow. Just make sure you share this episode with one person.
Yes, that'd be great.
One person, because if everybody starts sharing, that's how we all grow.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we want to grow, so.
Yeah. All right, toodles.
All right. Ta-ta. You love it.